Two Fairbanks Democratic senators, Joe Thomas and Joe Pascvan, would not have to face one another under changes made to the original redistricting plan. Alaska Redistricting Board Executive Director Taylor Bickford also says Thomas and Republican Senator John Coghill of North Pole would be in the same district. The board met this week to formally adopt Senate pairings for the new plan. The board is considering petitioning the Alaska Supreme Court to allow for elections this year to be conducted under the plan. The High Court allowed for that option in sending the plan back to the board for additional work, provided that it fixed two Fairbanks area House districts. A lower court judge recently rejected the board's second attempt. The board is asking the High Court to review and reverse that decision. The State Department of Revenue says an Anchorage couple received more than $36,000 in Alaska Permanent Fund dividend checks whilst living with their six children in Hawaii in 2008 and 2009. A Juneau grand jury on Friday indicted Brian and Vale Messina Fataliga on felony counts of fraud and lying on documents. Dividends from the Permanent Fund go to eligible residents who must be in the state for more than 180 days in the year before applying. Revenue authorities say the family cashed or deposited $36,592 in dividends and that accepting the payments was illegal because of their time in Hawaii. The Fataligas, if convicted, could face fines or jail time and could permanently lose their dividend eligibility. An Arkansas judge has delayed a decision on whether to transfer the Kevin Thornton murder case to juvenile court until it's clear whether previous juvenile records can be admitted as evidence. Hot Spring County Circuit Judge Ed Kuhn yesterday gave attorneys 10 days to brief him on the issue. Three Arkansas teenagers are charged with second-degree murder in the death of Thornton of Juneau, who was assaulted July 20th of last year while visiting the Malvern area in Arkansas. Thornton died a week later of his injuries. The boys were charged in adult court. In October, defense attorneys filed motions to move the case to juvenile court. Malvern reporter Steve Good was in the courtroom yesterday for the hearing.
There was a discussion in chambers on whether or not juvenile records had been delivered properly and timely to defense counsel.
Good says Judge Kuhn determined the records had been delivered properly, but that triggered another issue.
There was a subsequent discussion about the admissibility of all of the juvenile criminal record reports. The argument is how much of and which of those records are relevant to the possible disposition of the current case, whether or not all can be admitted, some can be admitted, and if some can, which of the sums can?
At the time of the alleged assault, two of the juveniles were 16 and one was age 17. In recent weeks, Richard Weinbach, who does not have a previous record, turned 18 years old. Clinton Ross and Timothy Norwood, both now 17, have had brushes with the law in the past. Good says Judge Kuhn halted yesterday's proceedings and will resume the hearing on the transfer motion until after attorneys file their briefs. Thornton's parents, Bill and Darlene Thornton, have traveled from Juneau to Malvern for the hearing. The parents and other family members of the defendants also were in the courtroom for the hearing but had no contact with the boys. Weinbach was released to the custody of his father earlier this year and lives in the Malvern area. Ross and Norwood are being held in separate juvenile correction facilities in different counties. Good says the teenagers all wore street clothes to the hearings.
Both Norwood and Ross had leg shackles and belly chains with handcuffs attached.
In addition to the motions to transfer the case to juvenile court, defendants' attorneys have requested the case be severed and each boy tried separately. No date has been set yet for a hearing on that motion. There will soon be fewer seiners allowed to fish in southeast Alaska. Majority of the fleet has voted to pay for an industry-funded buyback program. Supporters say it will mean less competition on the fishing grounds, while opponents say it is not worth the cost to remaining permit holders. Matt Lichtenstein has more.
the plan passed by a substantial margin, and there was a good turnout. Nearly three-quarters of the region's 379 SANE permit holders sent ballots into the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is administering the program. 215 of those SANEers voted yes, and 54 voted no. That means the plan moves forward.
We were really pleased to see that. You know, it sounded a lot closer, but really pleased to see that it was a significant margin.
Fishermen and Southeast Alaska SANEers Association Executive Director Bob Thorstenson has long advocated for the buyback. It will pay out a total of over $13 million to retire 64 SANE permits from fishermen who agreed to the deal prior to the vote. The program was initiated by an industry group called the Southeast Revitalization Association. The money comes from a federal loan, which the rest of the fleet will have to pay back. The association projects it could be paid off in 7 years, with each fisherman paying a fee based on 3% of their landings. That percentage could drop if the fee brings in more the revenue than expected, so Thorstenson thinks the assessment will be closer to 1% after a couple of years.
Yeah, but that's a very small price to pay to limited entry for the purse-seine fleet was jacked up to numbers that were unsustainable back when this fishery began as limited entry fishery.
The first limited entry permits for SANEers were issued in 1975. Ultimately, 419 people qualified for them. A smaller grant-funded buyback program in 2008 helped reduce that number to current levels. With improving markets for Alaska salmon, participation has been on the upswing in the last several years. Thorstenson and other buyback proponents say that by reducing the number of permits again, the SANE fishery will retain its value or grow more valuable for the remaining fleet. Many SANEers rely on a variety of other fisheries besides salmon, but Thorstenson emphasizes that salmon, with its increasing price, has grown more important for their businesses.
We're going to see chum salmon probably $1.20 and $1.25 this summer, which is the highest it's been for about a quarter century. And pink salmon prices over 50 cents, possibly 60 cents, which is the highest they've been in the quarter century. So salmon is going to be more and more of a contributing factor to guys' bottom line. I think it's going to be a real positive thing, both for the skippers and the crew of the same fleet.
Thorstenson acknowledges that the buyout has been a tough sell for some permit holders, but he thinks the economic benefits will be more evident after a couple of years. Opponents cite a variety of concerns, one of which is that the program is inflating the value of SANE permits, making it tougher for new participants to buy in. The buyback will pay out an average of about $205,000 per permit. That's significantly higher than recent market prices. According to Alaska's Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, Southeast SANE permits sold for an average of $129,000 in 2011 and $168,000 just this past March. Petersburg SANEer Charlie Christensen is one of the permit holders who voted against the buyout.
And I've been against it the whole time, still against it. It's a colossal waste of money that we've had this many boats since limited entry we've managed to muddle through. I think it's more greed than anything else. You're going to get these permits down to so few and so expensive that nobody can get started in it and fish anymore. And the buyback programs, I've never been in favor of any of them. They don't seem to work very well for anybody.
Christensen thinks only those who supported the buyout should have to pay for it. As it is, he and the rest of the remaining SANEers will start paying for the program this season, and the 64 people who are selling their permits will get paid up front with the federal loan. Mike Sturtevant is the Fishing Capacity Reduction Program Manager for the National Marine Fisheries Service.
We hope to complete paying everybody by the end of June and start fee collection on catches. 3% fee will be tagged on to all future catches, hopefully around July 1st.
A notice about the program's passage is expected to be published in the Federal Register soon. After that, according to Sturtevant, anyone with a financial stake in any of the 64 permits has a month to take whatever action they need to take before those permits are gone. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.